Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. On this Thirsty Thursday, Ed, what day is it?
Friday, babe.
Yeah, Friday Eve. Getting one step closer to that Friday. What's up, Jeremy Kahn?
What's up? I was watching some baseball yesterday and saw some weird stuff. You know how I always say if you watch baseball long enough,
oh yeah,
you'll see something.
It's that game.
So I don't know if you guys noticed this, and I think you'll appreciate it when I tell you exactly what happened. But you know, Yusei Kikuchi was pitching yesterday. He threw 30 pitches in the first inning, and then somehow still went 7 and struck out. Like,
dude, he was awesome last night. Didn't he end up retiring the last 11 batters or something in a row?
But here's the thing. Like, he's striking out everyone. And when you're striking out those guys, usually it's a higher pitch count. Mm-hmm. And when you throw 30 pitches in the first inning and get out of it by only giving up 2 runs, he had the bases loaded or first and third or getting nickel and dimed. But that's not even the headline story, because Kikuchi was facing Richard Fitz. Kikuchi was facing Dick Fitz. It's an all-time matchup in baseball history yesterday. Those are some great names.
You couldn't wait for that one, could you?
I couldn't. When I saw it, I went, oh, no. And then you got Dickie Lovelady on the Mets now.
Dickie Lovelady.
Oh, he got DFA'd?
He did, yesterday.
Still call him Dickie then, I guess.
Yeah. I thought it was a Dickie Lovelady. And he's been around.
Yeah. Mm. How do you get Dick from Richard? You ask nicely.
I just thought it'd be fun. The New York Post would have loved that.
Man, that's why they don't want these cameras in here. Hey, half the show will be me shaking my head at you.
By the way, supposedly we're going to start using these cameras.
Oh, great.
That's what they want, my face up close and personal.
Isn't that why Masson stopped partnering with you all years ago?
Man,
when you joined Anita Mark?
You know what? It's the most humbling, defeating, and funny thing at the same time. Because literally when they said it was Scott and I doing the show, my first day on Masson, Scott was at the Super Bowl. I'm walking down the hallway where the cameras are to go back to Anita's studio. It was a different studio. It was Scott and Anita's studio. And then the PD goes, no, we're going this way. And I said, no, the show is this way. I've been doing this show for 5 years. I've been working on this damn thing. It's this way. He's like, nope. So he said, no, Masson pulled. We're no longer on Masson. And I said, my face did all that? Are you kidding me? Anyway.
That's messed up, man.
Unbelievable.
You know, it really wasn't because of that. It's just a deal.
It's a good thing to roll with. It's still pretty. I mean, it's funny.
I didn't know it wasn't that.
Yeah,
they had to deal with her. They had to deal with her. It was specifically with her.
No, he's trying to bust my balls.
Oh, okay.
How do you know it wasn't his face?
I thought he was pulling a, you don't know.
You know what? I'm going to let it. That one flies. Yeah, it's okay.
That's crazy. How'd you spend your evening there, Edward?
Same as you while you're watching the game. That's it. Just kind of watching baseball, and I mean, DeGrom is appointment setting. I'll give him that.
Even now, like, he's, I don't want to say he's not supposed to do that now. I mean, the Orioles have made every pitcher now look like
DeGrom.
Yeah. And last night, like, the thing that I always look at when you see that a pitcher's just on, he was through 4 innings, and I think he threw 42 pitches. And it's just like, what do you do with that? Yeah. And if this was just the outlier with DeGrom, you're going, well, damn. I mean, tip your cap and you move on. But this has happened a couple of times now. What, Will Warren?
3 times in 6 games.
Yeah.
Deep no-hitters. What, once in the last 3 series?
Mm-hmm. Ugly.
Yeah.
You're good, though. No changes.
Yeah.
We all right. Nothing to see here.
And that's the problem. He's going to do what I just did. Well, he's a 2-time Cy Young winner. I mean, what do you want? Well, however,
what about Warren?
That's what I mean. It's not everybody else, too.
Yeah. Stephanie and I, my daughter, went out to dinner last night. We went up to Pairings.
I love that place.
I love it too, man. Oh my gosh, I love Pairings.
Food's so good there.
Hung out a little bit there. She told me how to put together some of my technology in my home because I did not know.
Are you now? Has that passed you by yet?
What? 'Cause
you're being technologically advanced, because like being a kid, you know, when the new video games would come out, you'd be the one setting it up. Dad would ask you, hey, what's going on with this? What's this HDMI? And then you come down and figure it out. I can't figure any of it out now, and I just tell my kids to do it. Like, I feel like an idiot when it comes to technology.
I don't think it's gotten to me that badly. It's just...
You use more technology on a daily basis than I do. Like, I'm very basic from the phone to the laptop, and all right, that's it.
I got one of those Amazon Fire TVs. Do you know, I got two 32-inch televisions, Amazon Fires, for my bedroom for Robbie's. You know how much it cost me combined?
How much?
Under $140.
Really?
For two of them.
Walmart was that? They apologized that much?
Walmart, it was Amazon.
Yeah.
Under $140 for two 32-inch television. Anyway.
Would they fall off the back of a truck?
Yeah, man.
man, I mean, that expression since I left Brooklyn.
The TVs fell off a... Well, didn't they break?
You're not understanding me. Fell off a truck.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to connect all of the Amazon stuff.
Yeah.
So she was there to help with that because she's the Amazon queen.
Don't you hate when you've been doing something for so long and somebody goes, you know you can do this.
Yes.
And you're like...
Yes, that's what it was last night. I was individually going to each thing. She said, no. You can put all of that together. How? She went to some feature on the TV and hit it. Voila. Everything just popped into place. I'm like, dang. And there
you go. It's like the time I was punching in something on my TV to look up a movie that my wife was talking about. She goes, why don't you just hit the button and tell it to look it up? And I'm like, you talking about? And then she grabs her remote and she, whatever.
Debbie does Dallas.
Forbidden Games. Boop. It's right there. And I'm going.
When my parents were alive, couldn't get them for a couple of days. I mean, I could not get them on the phone. I got very worried because they were both, you know, not doing well. So, drive all the way to New York City because I can't reach them. Can't get anybody, you know, confirmed they're alive or dead or whatever. Drive up. It was 4th of July weekend. It took me like 6 hours because it was the 4th of July. Get to the house. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to find in there. I get there. They're both sitting at the kitchen table. And I tell them, and they're like, oh, what are you doing here? And I tell them, I'm trying to get you, and what's going on? But you don't see your father. My father tells me he was in the hospital. The nurses disabled his phone. I said, so you're telling me they have that thing the CIA has? Like, they can just whack your phone. The nurses had this. He's like, yes. I go, give me that phone. I take the phone. I go,
it's off.
It's got a design flaw. It's got to be on. It's like, yes.
The power button. So wait a minute. So he left the hospital. His phone was blank. And the first thing came to mind was that the nurses.
100%. Because at that point, he was so paranoid.
That is, but it's still funny.
Yeah. The nurses, you know, disabled his phone, and I was stealing his money. My brothers, my cousins were stealing his money. And my God, what an unpleasant time that was. Jesus was.
Oh, boy. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We're giving out those shovels at 7 o'clock, but on the other side. Birds dropped 2 out of 3 to the Rangers, including a near no-hitter. Again, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And now a chopper to short will end the on-base streak for Gunnar, will end the game for the Texas Rangers, who win the series and one hit the Orioles 7-0, the second time the Orioles have been one hit in the last 5 games.
Wow. The offense sometimes is offensive, Ed. And last night was one of those nights. One hit three times in five games.
That's remarkable, honestly. I mean, it's just within a short span of time like that. And last night, I didn't expect much because of, you know, the only thing they have going for them last night was that he's a right-handed pitcher. You know, I kind of ticked that off as an L. I think maybe I said Bonnie Harris. I just wanted to see him because I, you know, I'm still a fan of DeGrom.
I'm thinking you didn't have one hitter on the card, though.
No.
Okay, I'm just checking.
No.
Why is everybody so negative? Did you see Kowser's hit? It's pretty damn good, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, you didn't want to go that route?
No.
You didn't want to, okay.
No. No. I wouldn't know.
Oof. It's
I didn't want to reach this morning.
You know what? When you talk about the offense being offensive, and I think we've used that quite a few times, it's so true. Like you finally have pitchers that are actually battling. And like if you look at Brandon Young, how it happens with young starters all the time where you're just rolling and it just falls apart in one inning. And I think sometimes that's a mental makeup. You watch guys push through it. It's interesting to watch. I was watching a game yesterday where a pitcher threw, I want to say it was 14 consecutive balls, but he got one out because a guy popped one up when it was clearly a ball. He reached for it, popped it up. And then on top of it, you had a situation where, you know, as you're looking at the game, you could have just sat there and let him walk to everybody aboard the bases and had a perfect situation. And then what happens the next guy? He swings at the first pitch and you go, okay, is he attacking the fastball and he's expecting it there? Or should he have seen a couple pitches because the guy hasn't thrown a damn strike? Mm-hmm. It happens all the time.
It's not a plan. There's no plans.
Yeah.
That's why I am. I mean, okay, Jackson Holliday loves to ambush and it works for him. Everybody can't do that. It works for him. But if you look at his batting average on first pitch hits, he's batting like 400. It works for him.
The jury is out on that too because you've seen him ambushing. So now some teams aren't going to throw him a strike on that first pitch.
I don't think he'll reach too much. I hope, hopefully. I can't say I think. I hope that he won't. But, you know, it's worked for him thus far. Jeremy, I would venture to say that I've seen a lot of batters up there. It doesn't look like they have a plan. 3-0 count, just because you get the green light, don't mean you come out of your shoes to swing it.
Yep.
You got the green light. That's saying I trust you. I'm trusting you to give you the green light on 3-0. But that trust can't be violated by you coming out of your shoes to swing. To me, I would love to sit down with each hitter and say, okay, what's your plan? Against this pitcher, what's your plan? Because if you're going up there without one, then you're in trouble. Scout report is intense. I've seen, you know, when they change pitches, you'll see Sanders come in. He'll talk to the next batter. He has that chart. He's giving him the scouting report. So it's not that. He's giving him the report. But based on the report that you get, what is your plan? What is your plan of attack? And last night it looked like, and I know it's easier said than done, and I know Jacob DeGrom is running two Cy Young. Yeah, but he's lost some games. And he gives up runs. Every pitcher does.
But, you know, and one of the points I made yesterday, and I truly believe this, is that you don't have to beat the starting pitcher sometimes.
Yep.
You have to outlast him. And you're not doing it when you're going up there allowing him to throw 10 or less pitches every inning. I mean, that's why he got into the eighth, you know, outside of the one hit thing, like it felt like nobody was being, and maybe you couldn't be because he was just on. But when you see this, we talked about four times now with the stretch of no hit. One was the last seven innings of a game against the Rays. But not all these guys were Jacob DeGrom. In fact,
Jeremy threw 89 pitches in 77 innings. 89 pitches.
It's unreal. And if he doesn't give up the hit, they probably let him go for it. You know, like again, you're seeing 89 pitches, but he also did just come off the IL not that long ago.
Right. They were probably happy he gave up the hit. They don't want to make that decision.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. Baltimore, Trippy. What's up, Trippy?
Hello.
Hey, man. What's up, man? I had a shovel, but I need to talk now, man. Hey, the Orioles is trash, man. Hey, I'm going to be honest with y'all, right? I'm tired of everybody keep saying it's going to be all right. Bro, that's back-to-back no-hitters. And you know what? I saw a tweet last night before I went to sleep. Hey, Mr. Splash, you better be lucky, boy, because you better get my shovel. We got a shutout last night, right? And he out there spraying the holes. If I was him, he needs to quit, man. They need to get rid of that Mr. Spaz. That's trash, man.
Which hose?
What hose was he spraying? Yeah.
Were they just out there?
I saw a little video. He was squirting the fans and stuff. Then fans.
Oh, well, you said my fault.
I was gonna say, Mr. Spaz, leave them hoes alone.
Exactly.
Yeah, man, they need Trippy out there to be Mr. Spaz. Maybe the Orioles might start winning. I ain't gonna lie, I'm tired of them. Man, I give up on the Orioles, man. I'll holler at them next year. I'm ready for the Ravens, man. Hey, y'all. Oh, today's Friday Eve. Happy Friday Eve, Ed.
Happy Friday, Pep. Yeah.
All right, Matt. All right, I'll get out with y'all.
All right.
He said, I'm done with them. Maybe I'll get up with them next year. Get up with them.
He said, so they're getting shut out. And Mr. Splash.
Out there spraying the hose.
Where did you see him?
We don't know you. Who are you? I'm Mr. Splash, hose. Shut up. Shut up, hose. You took it the same way I did.
Why are you spraying this? I like my hose.
I like my hose wet. He wants to be Trippy Splash. Hello, you getting a hose. The game hasn't started yet. Everybody's wet.
Trippy. I'm done with that. I gave up on him. I'll get at him last year.
I'll get up with him next year.
Get up with him next year.
I almost said the same thing, not in those words. I really can't wait for football season.
I told you, like, my throat surgery got moved up to early August because I didn't want it to bleed into football season. You don't know how happy I was. It's like, oh.
I don't know if you should use the words surgery and bleed at the same time.
Well, it's going to be. This one's going to be a rough one.
So you won't be able to talk.
I honestly don't know. I was just told I'd have the worst sore throat of my life for 2 to 3 weeks, and I'm on a strictly liquid diet.
You challenged that several times, so this will be...
Guys, I'm out of work for 2 weeks. What about radio? See, now I'm making myself the punching bag.
410-583-1057.
I'll get up with you guys next year.
It's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Hello. We're giving out shovels at 7 o'clock. NBA draft round one recap at 7:45. But on the other side, 6:45. Thank you very much, Joe, for jumping that in my ear. But on the other side, the Baltimore Orioles with one hit 3 times in the past 5 games. What is the issue with the bats? Does something have to be done immediately? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
In terms of accountability, I think when you see how these guys prepare every day and how they go about their business and what the intensity level is in the dugout, there's a ton of accountability, but it's still baseball, you know, and you have tough nights at certain times. So I don't think accountability is anywhere near kind of the right word for kind of what it is. I think it's just a tough few nights, to be honest with you. It's tough. I wouldn't look too deep into it. You know, it's a really strange week. I think as you guys watch baseball on a nightly basis over the course of the year, really weird things happen all the time. And I'd probably attribute, you know, 3 days like this to that.
Love you, Tony Masolino. I do. But accountability is the word. Somebody has to be accountable to what we're seeing right now, offensively, all year long.
Yeah.
Somebody, Tony, somebody has to be accountable. Weird night. It's not just the last 3 of the last 5 nights. Okay, those are extremes. You were one hit. We get that. Those extremes. But let's look at the spirit of what's been asked of you. What is wrong with the offense? That's the spirit of the question. You can get specific and say, yeah, 3 of the last 5 games is unusual. You are 110% right. But if you honor, Ed, the spirit of what the question is, and that is, who's held accountable for the most inconsistent offense that we've seen in Baltimore in what, 3-4 years? This is horrible.
Consistency's kind. I mean, it's not like they, you know, they have alternate nights where they're just not going to cover off the ball. Then they have a night like last night. They've been really, really inept for most of the season. They really have. I don't know what to say anymore. This is the hitting coach? Is it the play? I don't know what the hell to think. This is, and again, because then people point to, you know, it's Jacob DeGrom, but it's not Jacob DeGrom every night.
No, three of the last five nights, they didn't face Jacob DeGrom, right. So a two-time, like, Cy Young Award winner. They didn't do that.
So it's not him.
No, they faced a no-name lefty in game two. There's no expectation that happens. We thought maybe he'd go a few innings and it'd turn into more of a bullpen game, and he was so spot on, he just kept rolling. You know, they make lefties look like Hall of Fame players. And there's no fault in what happened last night against Jacob deGrom. But, yes, it looms larger when you look at the previous games going, yeah, but what about those? And Mantolino's not wrong in saying it's baseball, weird things happen. But nobody wants to hear that right now. You can't go to that excuse. There are times in life where there's a certain reason why things are going on, and you just can't go to that. You have to at least say something.
What about Sunday when you scored two runs? What about that? I mean, we were one hit against the Yankees the night, so you get one hit the night before, the day before on Saturday, and then the next day you score two runs. You know, what about that? Those are all games that you have to be accountable for. What's going on with your offense? What about when you score eight runs in one inning against the Rays and you can't score again? It's 8-0 after what, three innings?
Yeah.
You didn't score 8-1 innning. It's 8-0 after three innings and nothing. You didn't even manage another hit for the rest of the game. What about that? you have to take all of those in consideration. He's right. What about scoring one run on four hits last Monday against the Rays? You're right. Those three games out of five are extremes. We get that. But this has been going on the entire season, Ed.
Yes.
This is not new.
Well, it's gone the entire season and the tail end of last season, actually.
Yeah.
Because, again, everybody points to pitching. And granted, it's hard to ignore it because all the pitchers got hurt in the staff. But how'd you lose in the playoffs?
Yep.
2-1. Well, enough. I mean, they weren't hitting anything. Pitching was holding up, and bats just went to sleep. And again, it's not come back. It's just not come back. So I don't know what to say. I mean, this last night was just like, woof.
Oofa.
It was. It was like, whoa.
Well, you get back to this point where it's like, how are you supposed to? They've had big innings at times, like the Rays game where they score eight runs in one inning and don't score the rest of the game. And then overall, your score says, yeah, you scored eight runs, but what happened in the other
innings?
Game,
yeah.
Like the eight runs is an anomaly. The other eight innings of putting up zeros are not. And
not even getting a hit. Was it 20 out of the 21 batters were retired? It's only a walk. I forget, maybe a Kowser who walked. But you had one walk in that sequence. 20 out of 21 batters to end the game were retired.
Trash.
After you score eight runs that quickly?
Yeah, and it's
O'Hearn and Holiday walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two lefties.
No, I'm talking about not last night. I'm talking about against the Rays.
Yeah.
It was one batter walk. 410-583-1057, that's the number.
You mean out of the last 21 or whatever?
Yeah, one batter walk that game. Let's go out to Bel Air and get Tony. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
The hitting is a philosophy, and it's the analytics of the exit velocity, long swing, long angle.
But why is that working for other teams?
It's not.
Oh, it's not?
When you look at the short. No, absolutely not.
Wait a minute. Other teams don't use exit velocity and launch angle?
Let me explain. Tampa Bay, how many times did they hit the ball the opposite way? How many times did the shortstop from Oakland hit the ball? We are swinging. We have long swings. It's 3-1 swings on every approach for every hitter. You got third baseman playing shortstop. We can't hit the ball the opposite way. You can see what it is. Exit velocity means nothing. It means nothing. It means nothing.
No, it tells you how hard you're hitting the ball.
I think he's missing your question, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Why does that approach work for other teams? You mean the Dodgers don't have that approach?
No, but I just get irritated.
You mean the Yankees don't have that approach?
I get irritated when these guys go, analytics is ruined. No, it's just information. You use it how you want to see fit. If you don't think exit velocity is important, that's fine. There are other things that you can look at that's important, but launch angles, it's telling you how you're hitting the ball. It's telling where, like, if you have a game like last night, you want to try to get the ball in the air. And they couldn't against Jacob deGrom.
But again, I want to go back to your question. Why is it working for other teams? Your response is, it's not?
That's what he said. It's not. Let me explain.
The Yankees are an exit velo launch angle team. They even use different bats here, to try to help their launch angle. What are you talking about?
Let me give you the teams in the league that have been unbelievably successful using analytics. The Dodgers, the Astros, the Rays. We also have the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs. Yeah, that's a lot of teams that usually are in the playoffs.
Can I tell you something? Sunday, I did the Roku broadcast, and I had a good chance to talk to Buck Showalter before the game. We were talking. I said, Buck, you're old school. He looked at me and said, I'm not as old school as people think. I've been using analytics my entire career. I may use more of a balance.
Yeah.
But he said analytics are important
to
baseball.
That's why I love him. I feel like he has a – like there are times where you trust your instinct in a game. And maybe you buck what the trend is saying.
No pun intended.
I like that guy. No pun intended. But no, like there is a healthy mix that you can have. But if you're the guy that says – I would rather listen to the guy that's all analytical than the guy that says analytics sucks.
Yeah, because you've been using no information.
All that guy is doing is taking what the highest percentage chance is in that particular moment. That's all you're doing. You know, if the book says this hits it 48% of the time doing this and it hits it 42% of the time doing this, they're going to do what hits it 48.
Right.
There are guys that, and like even Harbaugh's bucked the trend. As much as I give him grief, like there are times in the game where I'm going, ain't no way the book's telling him to do this.
You know, it's funny you bring up Harbaugh. Because again, talking to Buck, Buck said, I had a lot of conversations with Harbaugh. Harbaugh was one of the coaches in the NFL that started using analytics before everybody else did.
Yeah.
Buck didn't dump on analytics. And when I called him old school, he almost took offense to it. He said, I'm not as old school as you think.
I don't like that.
And he went into his approach on analytics. So why are we in a stone age here in Baltimore, man?
Well, they were in the stone age. The Orioles were the one.
Our fans are.
Well, the team was. They were like the last team to come around in analytics. They had like no analytics department. It went from like three people to 50 now.
They had a small group. But now it's. But again, like when people go, this is what drives me nuts. People go analytics and exit velocity doesn't matter and all this. Mm. Well, what's it matter if it's hit hard? You know what they're using on defense to put the guy where you normally hit it? Analytics.
Yeah.
That's where, like, when the guy is positioned, I was watching a game the other night where the right fielder was hugging the line. And I'm like, good God, he's hugging the line. Shot down the line, he catches it in the air. And you're going, ain't no way that some bitch ever gets there. But you know what happened? They told him this often happens against this style of pitcher where he's throwing the ball. This is where you need to be lined up.
If you had a little card that players pull out of their pocket when the batter comes up.
Or their hat.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We're giving out shovels at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, the NBA Draft Round 1. We'll take a look back up next on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
With the first pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Dallas Mavericks select Cooper Flagg from Duke University.
Like, I know there was Vegas odds on Cooper Flagg going to Dallas, but Ed, I'm not going to ask the expert gambling man over here better. Who in the world would have taken that bet?
What, that he didn't go?
It was a slam dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't touch that at all, bet in favor or not in favor, because you don't win any money. You only lose.
That's why I asked yesterday. I mean, look, I don't, it's no secret. It's my least followed sport in the draft. The only person I knew was Cooper Flagg, really. Queen. But I heard he was going there. So if I know, and I asked you guys, you're like, oh, slam dunk, he's going, why would you take that bet?
I didn't get it. They had a lot of people taking that bet. Jeremy Kahn, your thoughts on last night's draft, any surprises?
The biggest surprise is that they're going to have a day two of this that nobody cares about. Like, I don't even get that. But
I don't get that.
I don't know that there were big surprises. Maybe Utah had the first surprise by... they didn't reach, but like when you talk about what Bailey's capable of doing, talent wise, like he's up there.
Would you have drafted him not working out? But no workouts at all. For those of you who don't follow this, Ace Bailey from Rutgers.
He refused to work out for certain teams.
Right. Utah was one among them.
Yeah. I don't refuse it just because of that. And the reason why is, like, this is such a crapshoot sometimes in the NBA. You get 12 spots on a team, right? Or maybe extended bench, or you go to the G League. But a lot of these guys, you're expected to come in and play, and you're looking for the boom. Getting a good player, yeah, it's okay. But if I'm drafting in the top 10, I want to find an impact player. And to me, I don't know that there's more of a boom or bust guy than Ace Bailey in this draft. So I would have drafted him. I was saying to you, the one thing that I do like, when I saw that the Hawks were drafting Derek Queen, I was like, I don't know if I like that fit. You know, they just traded for Porzingis. I mean, he's often injured. They've got a bunch of athletic bigs there. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how he fits in. And then, boom, he gets traded to the Pelicans. And I'm like, oh, my God, what a perfect spot for him, because this is going to be another team going through some sort of rebuild. Mm-hmm. Zion's there, who is often hurt. There have been rumors they may trade him.
He's been hurt since he came out of college.
Yeah, I don't know if you can put another basketball on the court since Jordan Poole's going to be his teammate. But, no, I think it's a perfect spot for him to go cut his teeth in the NBA and kind of figure out who he's going to be.
Yeah, I think so, too. I love the pick. I love the placement as well. I think I said to you, maybe a chance they drafted him because they wanted to part ways with Zion Williamson. I think he's a similar type of skill set. Maybe not as phenomenal and flashy, but I think he's a similar type skill set. I think he could do some of the same things. So we'll see. I think Derek Queen's going to be an outstanding pro. I do. I think he's going to be an outstanding pro. He's going to be an all-star. I think Cooper Flags is a generational talent, though.
Oh, there's no question. Look, when you're talking about the ceiling is off the charts ridiculous of what it could be for Cooper Flagg. I'm not saying the ceiling's not high for Derek Queen. Mm-hmm. It's just that when you look at where he is right now, I think Derek Queen is good. It might take some time for him to figure it out. I think Cooper Flagg comes in right away, and you're like, just put him in the starting lineup. He's playing 30 minutes. Let him roll. See what you have.
Rookie of the year. And the difference is Cooper Flagg has been allowed to play his NBA position since high school. Derek Queen has not been able to play his NBA position at all. Mm-hmm. It spurts at Maryland, they allowed him to. Mm-hmm. In high school, he was the big man. You had to play the big man role. Yeah. At the beginning of Maryland, he was the big man. Eventually, let him work his way out. I don't think he's really seen his role that he's going to have in the NBA yet. That's why he's going to take some time to grow.
What is his role going to be in the NBA?
I think he is a
like a point forward?
Yeah. I think he's I don't want to say a poor man, because that guy's a Hall of Famer, arguably the best player in the game right now.
But Jokic? But
yeah, I think he's a poor man version.
I'm trying
of
to think of a
I do. Am I saying he's as good? No, not to say it, but I'm saying I think that's the type of game that he's going
to
have.
You know what he's going to have with that less athleticism is a similar game to what LeBron does. LeBron fills up the stat. And I'm not telling you Derek Queen is going to be LeBron James. Yeah. I'm saying from a statistical standpoint, he's going to put up numbers where it's across the board. Like, he's going to score. He's going to rebound. He's going to get assists for a big guy. He can, and LeBron's a guy that you can have run the point, and he does at times. Just brings the ball up the floor, especially in final moments or whatever, unless they're drawing up a play. And I think Derek Queen's one of those guys that you can give the ball to and allow him to bring it up the floor and not be worried about it. And Antoine Walker used to bring the ball up the floor. There you go.
I think that's his type, Ed. I think, and he's never been able to really fully play that. We saw glimpses of it at Maryland, mm-hmm. Jeremy, but we didn't really see the full thing. I think that's going to be his role.
Well, he's like what they look for now is big men that can shoot. Like, it's a different game.
They're going to get his ass in the gym, though, quick. And I mean, lifting, getting strong. Because that's the thing that you realize, if you've ever played high school into college or even into pros, you realize the step up. You have special players where it's not going to affect them either way. But the speed and the strength gets way better on each level. And, from high school, you go from being this big fish in a small pond and dominating everyone to going to a bigger pond where there's fish the same size as you. Right. To seeing, can I outclass those guys? And when you get to the NBA, it's like, man, I hope I can hang on for 5 years.
I don't know about basketball. I'm sure it's the same, but it's like, I would bet, because I remember talking to Sean Landetta, actually. Because I was apologized for playing D3 football. He goes, don't talk like that. He goes, 2% of high school kids play college football.
Yeah.
And 2% of those go to the pro. So I was like, wow, that's true. It's like, yeah. It's like the best kids you played against, you know, now in college. And the best guys in college are now in the pros.
How many rooms have you sat in when nobody in that room played anything college athletics?
Most times.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, no level.
Yeah.
You know, in this room is three of us. Yeah. But in most rooms, it's you and you're by yourself. You know, so.
Yeah.
By the way, it's funny you say that about the speed of the game. we were talking, yesterday during the draft, they were talking about some guy, I forget who it was, Jeremy, one of the top five picks. He can guard 1 through 5.
Is it Edgecombe?
Yes. And you know the first thing I thought of? We'll see.
Yeah. We're going to find out.
We're going to find out. You may have guarded 1 through 5 there, but guarding 1 through 5 here is a different animal. We finna find out.
He is a lockdown type player.
I know in terms of guarding 1 through 5 though, Jeremy, that's special.
Yeah.
We'll see. How many guys in the league right now guard 1 through 5?
There's only a handful.
Exactly.
Really.
So you said he is an elite defender if he can get in and do that.
Yeah. I mean, you can still be an elite defender and not have to guard everyone. Like you can, like Lou Dort, you can put him on bigger guys and he's going to frustrate them, but if you put him on a guard, they get put in the Dortcher chamber. The Dortcher chamber.
Jorge Mateo kicked off a rehab assignment in Norfolk with Mancelino saying he needs to get playing time. Does he really? We'll talk about that at 7:30. On the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, I'm giving it to a radio station that's been frozen in time, apparently.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057. The Fan, shovels next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.